Amen. Be seated, please.
Amen. Good morning, church. It is great to see all of you. I greet you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I've got to begin today by apologizing. My voice, if it stays with me, it's going to be a great victory. I've been fighting a cold all week, and I finally went to the doctor. And so anyway, my prayer this week has been, just please, Lord, let my voice last. And I've got to last through this service, and then I'm leaving here, and I'm going to Bay City, and I'm speaking at the church in Bay City. So we've got to get through two speaking engagements today. By the way, Jerry's teaching my class, and Phil's teaching Phil and Jerry's class. So he's sharing Phil with me. But anyway, so glad that you're here, and I just pray that my voice is not an obstacle to you this morning. I was fearful of even bringing that up. If I bring it up, then you're going to be listening to it too closely. But anyway, I apologize. If it cracks, if I have to stop, just be with me. Okay, all right. I need some help. Zane, thanks for volunteering. Come on up here for a minute. Y'all should have seen the look on his face. I really am serious. Come on. So, Zane, you're going to help me set the stage for today's lesson. And what I have here is an apple. All right, very good. A guy from Garwood can be taught. Hello. Boy, I'm just having a little fun here. He's up on my buddy. Okay, all right. Okay, Zane, do you know what this is? I didn't know what it was until I saw the thing. Mindy had bought it and brought it to our house, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago. Has it been at the house a long time? Okay, I just found this about a month ago. Do you know what that is? There's probably a lot of other people. I didn't know either. I had to ask Mindy, what is that? And she said it's an apple corer. That's not the easiest word to say. I'm not going to ask you to say the word, Zane. Aren't you glad? All right, good deal. All right, so what I'm going to do is I want to cut the core out of that apple. And I'll try not to make you and I messy, okay? So anyway, I had never seen it done. And I did a practice run. And the first one that I did, it actually worked out perfect. So the bar for me is set really high today. You're excited this morning, aren't you? This guy is fired up. Gary's he always like this? Only when the preacher calls him up and it's embarrassing in front of, hey, you're a great sport. I'll make it worth your time. We'll do something special. Okay. All right. So I think this is how you core an apple. It goes something like this. And you know what was so cool the first time I did this? Check this out. The core came out with the, say it with me, church. Oh, y'all, if you're clapping at that, we've got better stuff. We're just getting warmed up. The core came out with the core-er. All right, now here's what I want us to do. So, first of all, isn't that neat? You can, like, scope out your brother and see how ugly he is. He's still ugly as now as he was a while ago. All right, so here's what I want us to do. They say there's five seeds, mostly, almost always, in the core of an apple. I'm not going to have you count the seeds, but I want you to see if there is anything in there that would suggest we should not eat that apple. You see anything? Looks pretty good, doesn't it? Okay. Zane, I'm going to give you the... Actually, I'm going to give you the apple. I'm kidding. Now I got apple juice on my glasses. When I put that on, that's going to be a hoot. All right. So, I tell you what. I'm going to let you... Do you like apples? All right. Will you... I'm going to cut this up for you and hopefully not cut through and cut my hand. All right, cut it that way, cut it that way. If y'all hear the Zeiner brothers crunching during church, you know what's going on. So there you go, buddy. Take it with you. Y'all give him a round of applause. Now, how many of you, like when we think about, Yeah, I know it's when school begins, there's always these marketing pictures with school products, and it'll have an apple because, you know, students take an apple to their teacher, and then it'll have a cute little worm like that, you know, suggesting that, you know, if you be a good student, you could be a bookworm. And so they associate a worm with an apple, and the worm is just so wonderful. How many of you have ever opened up an apple and found a worm? You know, that's a disgusting experience. It looks more like that, right? And if you've ever been into one and you come across a worm, you're like, ah! And you know, you throw it, you're disgusted. You put the thing away. many people, or at least I'll say me, I count for many people, all right, I always thought that the worm actually bored into the apple and would ruin the apple from the outside in. Scientists have long discovered that that's not how worms get in apples. Do you know how worms get in apples? There is this codling moth. I put the little picture of the evil monster up there. That's a codling moth, and the codling moth it cocoons in the soil. In the spring, it comes up, and then it lays eggs at the root of where the little apples begin to form on the tree. And so the eggs are laid right there at where the apples are being formed in the very early stages. And as the apple grows, the egg is inside the core of the apple. It just grows into the core. And when the apple nears its ripening stage, the worm then becomes, or the egg becomes a larva. I got to get my biology correct here. The larva. And that's what you're looking, well, that's what we were looking at just a moment ago. That was, that's the larva form of the moth. And it ruins the apple. It ruins the apple from the inside out. Today, I want us to think about, what if God could take some instrument, we might say, and dig into the core of who we are as individuals. And he pulls out that core sample of who we are and looks at what it is that's in our heart. So today when we talk about the core, it's synonymous with what the scripture says is the heart. And so Jesus teaches us a couple of things about how where evil comes from. Luke 6, 43 through 45, no good tree bears bad fruit, we know that. Nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. This is elementary stuff. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars, but we do get dewberries around here. Amen? And if any of y'all have some jelly, I want some. All right. Just a little side note. A good man brings the good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Or some of your Bibles may say, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. I like this translation. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. It's going to naturally come out whatever is inside. Think of think of your heart as a the Bible uses the word storeroom. Think of it more like a vault, something that you would place precious, valuable things. Mindy's got a relative that's got a lot of Native American artifacts. And I love to go to his house and look at their artifacts. And he's got them on display everywhere inside of his house. But he also has a vault. And inside his vault are his most precious pieces of all the things that he has. And so he'll open up the vault, and he's actually shown me everything that's inside the vault. At least I think he has. And he has some amazing pieces. And these pieces have been validated by authorities as genuine items. One of those pieces, I won't tell you which Indian owned this gun, but I will say this. When we used to jump from the swing into the river when we were swimming, we would yell when we released the rope, Geronimo! It's been authenticated. It's a special thing. And only a few people have seen that, myself included. All right? And so we think about a storeroom, a vault, or a safe. And that's what our heart is. That's what our core is. And whatever we have stored inside of us is what comes out. Jesus would say again in another passage as he taught, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? The Pharisees were upset that Jesus' disciples had not washed appropriately, ceremonially, before they ate, and they were all in a religious tizzy. And Jesus says, hey, that's not how you get contaminated. It's not from food that's being ingested. Don't you see whatever that enters the mouth goes into the stomach and out the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. These are very important teachings for us as Christians to meditate and ponder and think deeply upon. Because we want to ask ourselves, what's going on inside of our heart? You see, when sin enters into our life like that worm, seeds are sown into the heart, and then the seeds of sin begin to work their way out through a person's deeds and actions. You know what? People in life rarely fail for lack of competence. Do you know what I mean? It's like they've got a skill set, right? People don't normally, some of y'all are going to college right now. Some of you are business people. People don't normally fail at what they do because of a lack of competence, ability, or skill. Generally, church family, when people fail, it's because there has been a compromise of character. The core has been compromised. Many of our major institutions and large businesses that were led by powerful CEOs and chief financial officers have fallen, not because they lacked any kind of financial skills or product producing company skills. It's because they failed due to their character, what was in their heart. Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus doesn't want our core to be corrupted. He wants us to have a core. It's not just ability, because you and I, we can know the book. We have the ability to know and to study this book cover to cover. But the question that I want us to think about, or the action that I am calling us to take, is to put the book in our heart. And so that it's out of the overflow of this character that great things come. You know, the word core has become an in vogue word and concept in the world of physique. There's the word. That's a good enough word. In the realm of physique, you know, when you get muscle magazines or Shape magazine. I was at a doctor's office this past week, and I've read Shape magazine. It's like I'm reading a magazine of nutrition designed for women. This is weird. I hope nobody sees me. I learned some interesting facts about things that I should and shouldn't eat. So anyway, you know, so it's very interesting. People want to know a lot more about the core, because we've discovered that the stronger your core. And your core is what we would call our torso, between our neck and our hips. This is our core. So the stronger it is, the stronger our extremities can be. The stronger the core, the more we can constrict and contract our muscles. And so many athletes have learned how important it is to develop and strengthen the core. And so they start working on the rectus abdominis. Y'all know what that is. That's the old six-pack right here, right? Surely you've never heard of the rectus abdominis. Some of us in here have a rectus abdominal or abominal. There we go. There's the word I'm looking for. Y'all remember the abominable snowman? There we go. There's that. Okay, that's that muscles in this side here. We focus a lot of attention on, but there's more important ones than that. There's the erector spinae in the back that your neck and it goes off your shoulders. There, the external obliques and the internal obliques. And I love this, the transverse abdominis. Oh, yeah, I said it up in here. Go with it, Phil. I got it. Transverse abdominis, the TVA. All right. Located under the obliques, it's the deepest of the abdominal muscles, and it wraps around your waist and your spine, and it for protection and for stability. All of these are very important. So if you have a strong core, you're going to have strength in all areas of your body. Matter of fact, people that have a lot of back pain, doctors prescribe core exercises, and if you will do those, it is likely you can overcome and deal with and contend with a lot of that pain. And, of course, a strong core improves athletic performance. All powerful movements originate from the center of the body, and then they work their way out. It's never from the limbs alone. So if you want to improve your core strength, what do you got to do? If you want to improve your core strength, I'm talking physically here. If you want to improve it, you got to exercise. You've got to work it out if you want to strengthen it. Now think about this. So let's make a move here. Let's talk about the core of the Christian life. What might we assume if we want to have a strong core of the Christian life? What must you do? The same thing you do physically, except spiritually. What do? You exercise. You work it out. And so, church family, let me share with you a couple of things this morning. There's two things that you and I need to do to build the core, the Christian core of our lives. The first thing is, hey, did y'all like that? He's working his core right there, the rectus abdominis. I love that word. That's my new word. That's going to be my new word for the week. All right, two things you need to do, and that is you need to go through an exam, and you need to exercise. Now, we're talking spiritually, all right? So have you ever thought in your mind, I'd like to have God examine my heart? Have you, any of you, ever prayed? I mean, we pray for a lot of things. We pray for forgiveness. We pray for people's healing. We pray for the gospel to spread. We pray for our family to be protected. There's all kinds of things we pray for. You ever prayed and God would examine your heart? David did. There was a Psalm 26, 1 through 2. Vindicate me, Lord. All right? Hey, I've been done wrong here. Something has occurred in David's life that has him on his heels. He has him in a vulnerable state, and he feels in a state of weakness. He says, Lord, for I've led a blameless life. Doesn't mean he didn't do anything wrong, but he's living a righteous life. He says, I've trusted, I've trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. Look here, test me. Phil, say it for me. Test me. There we go. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. Now, church family, I want to suggest to you that when you pray these prayers, God's going to help you in that process. If you're that open to God, I promise you, God's going to work on those answers that you need in your life. And this is another psalm that I absolutely love. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, God, and know what? What does it say? And know my heart. Say it loud. And know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So the first thing that you and I need to do, if we want to have a strong core that good things are going to come out of, is we need to do what you do when you go to the doctor. I went to the doctor this week. I had like a acetylene torch in my chest is what it felt like. You know, it's like I can self-diagnose here. Doc, I've got an infection in my chest, in my lungs. All right, but you know what the doctor did the very first thing that she did? She had that little stethoscope. She stuck it right here. What is she listening to? The heart. Why? Because it's the core of who, physically, it's the core of who, everything depends on the heart, you know. And then she went out, let me hear your breathing. She goes, ooh, that's bad. We're going to fix you up. And she's going to give me some steroids, and I told her not to do that, because y'all have seen what happens to me when that happens. Okay. Anyway, we're working on it. They look at the heart first. We ask God in prayer, God, look into my heart. What do you see? You know, God's servant David had an epic fail. That's a new trendy word, epic. He had an epic fail. He had sinned greatly. And in his Psalm 51, that is a psalm that was in response to his understanding of the severity of his decisions to sin, he wrote these words. He says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. See, it's not based on my deeds, not based on my merit. It's grace. Grace is in Scripture from one end to the other. Have mercy, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. He goes on and he says in verse 10, create in me a pure heart. Or some of your scriptures will say a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Y'all know the song? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It's a beautiful song. It comes right out of this Psalm 51. And it's a prayer. That song is a prayer asking God to do his work. Not only do we need examination, we need cleansing. Amen, church family. We need something renewed, put back in its place. He says, don't cast me from your presence or take your spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. God, I want to be able to walk this life that you've called me to live. The one that I've failed, the one that I've corrupted. What was in my heart was corrupt, and I'm asking you, God, to give me a new core, to give me a new life. And that's exactly what God did for David, even though he did suffer grave consequences for his sin. So, God can clean your heart. And the scripture even says this, church family, that he can give us a new heart. Ezekiel 36:26 says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, something that's impervious, impenetrable. I'll remove from you a heart of stone, he says to Israel, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And so, church family, the first thing we want to do is we want God to examine our hearts. For God to examine our heart and then to do his work in our life. One of the ways, secondly, the next thing that we want to do is we want to exercise what we've been given. We don't want the core, our Christian core, to atrophy. We don't want it, because of the lack of use, to shrink in its effectiveness and power. And that's exactly what happens when we don't carry out the Christian core, the heart that God has given us. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. So now we're getting into it. The first part was all introduction. This is what inspired today's lesson. Pondering and thinking through what Peter wrote this group of struggling Christians. In verse 3, it says this. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. Think about those valuable things. The most valuable things for us, folks, are not those, the things that we own. It's the promises of God that we are given. Amen? These very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate, check this out, in the divine nature. You see, when you and I practice God's character, God's core, a transformation occurs and we begin to participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So we've got godly desires now. And godly desires bring about what we consider and what we call the divine nature. Now, we're not going to be divinity. God's not saying you're all going to be little gods now. Okay, he is God. When he talks about participation in God's divine nature, what he's speaking of is the character, the core of who we are. Like, however God acts and thinks is how we are to think and to act. It is the divine nature. And the reason we know this is because he goes on and in the following text. In 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verses 5 through 7. This is where we're going to focus for just a moment. For this very reason, make every effort to add. Underline that word add in your scripture, or make a note of it for yourself. And make every effort. How important is this? It is so important that you should make, help me church, every effort. To do what? To add. All right, so here we go. To add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly love, mutual affection, however it's translated, and to mutual affection, love. Verse 8, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so when we talk about doing our core exercises, this is what it is. Faith, knowledge, goodness, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection. Let me just say a short word about each one of those, okay? Otherwise, we'd be here a long time, and I've already heard Judd's stomach rumble. So here we go. So here's the exercises. These are the, have a heart exam, and then exercise the core values of the Christian character. Faith. Let me say this. What is faith? It's trust God in everything. How about that? Trust God in everything, with everything, and in everything. Amen? That's what faith is. Goodness is simply the moral life that God calls us to do. To do what brings in, the good for another, that benefits another person's, the other people's lives. When we talk about knowledge, you and I had knowledge. That's how you came to faith. You came into a knowledge of Jesus Christ. You learned that you were dead in your sins. You learned that you were separate from God. You learned that you were deserving of wrath because of your sinful nature. You learned that Jesus Christ died on the cross as a substitute for you. His perfect life for your imperfect life. And he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. He sent his apostles to speak the love and good news of Jesus Christ. You and I hear the good news of Jesus. We respond in faith to him. We put our faith in Jesus. We were baptized just like Jesus was baptized. The Father affirmed, "This is my Son." When you and I are baptized into Jesus Christ, Galatians 3 tells us, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in him. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. It's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And so you came into a saving knowledge. Now that you're saved, there is a life that God calls us to live, and it's a saved life. God wants us to grow in our knowledge. When we talk about self-control, boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? Well, it depends on what we're talking about. Now, if it's food, especially some of the food you guys bring to our fellowship meals, restraint becomes a very difficult task, right? But seriously, we can sin with food, but we have to and we have to exercise restraint. We can sin with our bodies. We can, y'all, I'm so sorry. You're so patient, kind. We can sin with our bodies. With regard, one of the most some of the most important decisions you and I make are going to be with regard to our sexuality. Okay, sexuality is none before marriage, in celibacy and singleness, and monogamy and marriage. Okay, and that's where the context of God's blessing of sex reside. And you and I as Christians, we have to exercise restraint and self-control with regard to that. Now, folks, now some of you, many of us, whatever, may have sinned in some of these ways. And there is forgiveness and there's renewal. That's exactly what David did. He says, create in me a clean heart. So when you hear this, don't hear, I stand condemned when I've given my life to Jesus Christ. I want you to know you're not condemned, but I do want you to know that God wants to bless your sexuality, and he will when you live within his parameters. And so commit yourself to those exercises of self-control. Another thing about self-restraint, anger. Can I get an amen on that? You know, what happens when we get angry? God gave us 2 ears. God gave us 2 eyes. He gave us 2 hands. He gave us 2 feet. He gave us one mouth. And it can be big. And it can be big. Think about it, church family. So when we're angry, we need exercise. So self-control. And then perseverance, determined to do what's right and just stay the course regardless of the cost, church family. God will vindicate you. Godliness, that's piety, simply living life like God. Mutual affection or brotherly love, that's family-like devotion for one another. You know what we call each other? I know what some of you call some others of you in here. But we're brothers and sisters. God has created a family. And so, Brother Phil, that's my brother right there. Brother Joe, that's even got a great ring to it. Reminds me of coffee. I'm hungry. You're all right. So we are brothers, we have sisters, and we are blessed with family, and we have family-like love towards one another. And then finally, love. It's the supreme evidence that we follow Jesus. Now, these are not the only eight that are ever used in Scripture that you can use to exercise your life, but these will bring strength to your core. Now, notice that it begins with faith and it ends with love. Faith is the root, love is the fruit. You can say that again? Faith is the root and love's the fruit. So love is the goal, it's the outcome of a godly life. So when you not practice these things, you know what happens? It prevents injuries from occurring. Y'all know how we injure? We injure with generally our mouth. We injure one another. We injure sometimes our relationship with God. We even injure ourselves. But when we practice our core, these things, it leads to an effective and productive Christian life. And then finally, when we practice our core, God's divine nature comes to dwell in our life. I'm going to close with this. It's a picture of Lisa Swanson and her son, who is a twin. He's got a twin brother. And Lisa is embracing a guy named Terry Hooper. They just met on April 1st of this month for the first time. They've known each other since 2013. They've been corresponding with one another through mail. People actually still do the snail mail, and they've been doing that. But Lisa's from North Dakota, and she made the drive. She made the trip down to Omaha, Nebraska. And she went to the medical center, and she walks into the medical center, and there she meets Terry Hooper for the first time. Lisa had a tragic event occur in her life. Her 18-year-old son, that young man's twin brother, was accidentally killed in a car wreck. It was on December 10th, 2010. And on December 10th, 2010, Levi's heart, that was her son's name, Levi's heart was put into the chest of Terry Hooper. And she came down to Nebraska because Terry was going to have an ultrasound done of his heart. And she was going to hear Levi's heart in the life of Terry Hooper. It was an amazing experience. You ought to see the video. It'll cut you to the heart. Now, she gave Levi's heart because Levi had died. If Levi were still living, I doubt that she would have offered his heart to Terry Hooper, even though Terry Hooper's a really good guy. Her son died, and because he died, his heart was made available, and she had the blessing of hearing the heartbeat. God gave his son's heart, if you want to think about it, and his son was alive. And both of them made the choice in agreement. And Jesus died so that you and I would have his heart. So church family, his divine nature has given us, okay, the gym has been fully stocked and set up. His divine nature has given us everything that we need. May God bless you as you practice these beginning now. Amen. May the Lord bless the hearing of the word today.